Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and welcome to February 2018. It is February 1st, new month, same problems. Big day today. You know, I think you look at yesterday's action and pretty wild, right? But really what it means is there's a lot more volatility, which is a good thing. As you know, we talk about volatility all the time. We love volatility. That's always the that's the best part about trading, is having volatility. It gives you the best shot to be to make money when there's a lot of volatility in the markets. So that is always something that we look forward to. And of course, you couldn't get much more volatile than Wednesday. You had a market that was up like 240, 250, a market that went lower on the day and then closed up, higher on the day. And, you know, at the end of it, okay, again, that's what we like about the market, is the opportunities that volatility brings you. You know, it's something that, you know, you can't describe it, but it is something that brings you opportunity. And when we evaluate it, you know, I like to call volatility the great forgiver, because you can make a bad trade and you can then recover from it, because the markets will move enough to give you that opportunity. Now, most likely based on current market conditions, volatility is probably a tad overdone here. Now, I don't say it won't go higher. The VIX would be directly what we're speaking about. But it did, you know, if you remember one thing, if you remember what we call universal price, if you remember that all charts are the same and all patterns repeat themselves, then you can look at the VIX on a chart and assume it as any others, that it had a little bit of a blow off. Now, it doesn't mean that volatility will come crashing back down again. It just means that we have, you know, it's not a surprise if volatility slows down a touch here. And of course, the VIX pushed almost 15 and is now, you know, around the 13 level, which is natural. Okay. Now, I think some of the interesting stories that we look at from yesterday is, first of all, Facebook's earnings came out after the close, and Facebook was down about 10 and then up about 10. Amazing swings. I mean, really just flying. And you know, I heard a couple of the experts, you know, during the day talking about that you got to buy Facebook. And I was laughing when I saw it down 10. And then, of course, when it went up 10, I go, oh, I guess they were right. But I think the message you should take from the volatility in Facebook and the movement is that the markets are getting ready to turn around. They're getting ready to make the top. Again, it's not that I'm negative about markets, but what you see when you get that kind of action, when you get that big whip action, it's a warning sign. And that's all. There's nothing, you know, nothing fancy about it. There's not a, oh my God, I can't believe it about it. It's a simple process that the markets are getting to the point where they are getting to a top end of a range. Now, they can resolve themselves in a number of different ways through consolidation, through whatever. But when you have these whippy situations, that's just indicating either a bottom or a top. In this case, it would be a top. And that's that wild swinging volatility. But I think the bigger message to look at is if you look at a couple of the earnings that have come out recently, they've been good, you know, based on street expectations. But I think that, you know, you look at McDonald's, you know, lost about 3-4% on spectacular earnings. Caterpillar continues to churn lower on good earnings that it had. And all that's telling you, that's a sign that the good news is fully priced in. It doesn't make it negative. What it does is it just tells you that the markets have now priced in that news. And, you know, at the end of the day, it just says, hey, we've priced in our markets, the information, and unless it's spectacular, we're going to pound you. And that's always that's what we call, you know, in sports, they call it sudden change. Well, the markets are now starting to get into what we would call a sudden change environment, all right? And what that means is that before any news that was positive, everything would explode. And now that has changed to, okay, well, now you got to do better. And when we get to that point where we think they have to do better, all of a sudden it's harder to do better. It's harder to get to that expectations, because when markets are positive and things are going well, expectations continue to grow. You know, it's always the same example. You know, I use many, many times here, but you know, either a great restaurant or a great movie, and somebody tells you what a great restaurant this is, the best, they got the best, everything's the best, or this is the best movie I ever saw. Well, you build up your expectations, and when you get done with the meal, or you would get done with the movie, you go, okay, it was okay, no, nothing great, because mentally you were prepared for better. And once we get certain expectations, it's very hard to prepare for expectations. And, you know, it's the same as a blind date, right? You know, that's why when you send somebody on a blind date, you tell them that he or she is just average, and you don't try to build up the person, because when you do, then they can only be disappointment. And that's the same way that the markets function. Okay, it's not about what the facts are; it's about what the people are feeling. And I think that'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the jobs. We saw it played out in the Fed; it was pretty whippy. And the Fed did actually nothing. It was like they weren't even there. Of course, they're always like they're not even there. But I think that's important when we try to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And that is something that we'll talk about more later today. But I did want to remind you that this is the Bubba Show. And I am Bubba, of course. And also that, you know, I have my high school investing program, and you know, we've been putting it together for years, and you know, spent a lot of money, and again, I'm not complaining, but now I need some help. And if you can go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading, you can help out. And again, for those who do, we are offering you one free week of our advisory service, which is, you know, day trades or swing trades in the futures market, and you can check those up. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And, of course, don't forget libertytalk.fm. That is our station. And, of course, you can download the Bubba Show every day there, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we have a new show kicking off this weekend, which is going to be involved in cryptocurrencies. So check it out. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to come back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, I'm in the midst of a Twitter battle with some of my followers and some very nice people that say a lot of nice things about me, so I gotta be. I can't bash them on air. No, I wouldn't bash them anyway. But we're right now in a debate on a couple of different topics, and one being oil. And I say that oil has no chance to go to. I shouldn't say no chance. I don't think oil is going to 70. I think oil is going to 40. And I think that we're going to see a major pullback in oil. I think that this is all garbage. It's all BS right now. And I think this is one of the, these are some of the warning signs you see of people start to get trapped and start to bring in beliefs instead of looking at the actual action. And the action in oil suggests that the only reason that it's rallying here is it's a fear trade. You still got the oil markets in backwardation, which means that the front month premium is higher than the back, which just says it's bearish. And, you know, we've been through this a number of times. And, you know, if you go back into, you know, July of 14, you had it in the same formation and oil went from 114 to 25. All right. And again, I'm not saying we're going to 25. And I mean, I don't think we're going to 40 tomorrow, but I do think that I would like to be short. And I think the top of oil is in the markets. I don't see there's no fundamental or technical reason that I would expect oil to rally from here. I think the fundamentals suck. I think it's a bunch of BS in what we're being, the bill of goods that we're being sold are, and this was totally manipulated. And you had a lot of OPEC and other manipulation here. Now, you know, you don't think now that we're at the highest rig count we've been either in ever or in years, I can't remember, but why would I expect that oil would start to continue to rally when I know that these frackers and shale producers are going to start popping it down? Again, like I said, I mean, I wouldn't die if it hits 70, but again, I think that the highs are basically in, and I would be a big seller, and I am a big seller. All right. And I will continue to be a big seller because, again, I don't see any reason that it should go higher. I don't see any reason like the market should go higher. You know, I mean, again, the markets could go a little higher from here, but I don't see it longer term. I think the tops are certainly in. I don't see a lot of reason to get excited about it. And I have the same other Twitter battle and battle with on gold. You know, I thought gold was broke down, and then it rallied back and tested the highs, and it once again failed at the highs. Now, I'd actually written something last week for Kitco, and I said I was wrong, and you know, everybody said, "Hey, thanks for owning up to your wrong." I have no problem. I'm not, you know, listen. The last thing I want to do is convince you that I'm always right, because I'm not. But somebody, I don't know if it's a guy or a gal, but blasted me like I was an idiot about what was happening. And you know, as it turns out, I was correct, and the charts were correct. Not me, the charts were correct. And you know, I own it. Whatever trades I talk about, I'm involved. All right. So it's not like I'm just forming an opinion like some jackass, you know, someone trying to sell my book. I don't sell my stuff, so I'm not trying to sell my book. I'm just telling you, trying to help everybody out in the way that I see things. And so I get blasted in a nasty email. All right. And I go, okay, you know, what do you want me to tell you? You know, I owned it. I said it, you know, but I think I'm very clear on the difference between investing and trading. And if you're investing, then, you know, many of the things I talk about, I don't ever tell you to sell your long-term investments. In fact, I clearly tell you that you should learn how to hedge your investments, whether it be gold, oil, silver, equities, grains, whatever it is, versus trying to do something different. So I say to you and to my beat downer, I never told you to sell your long term. I tell you to keep your long term. You know, so don't confuse trading with investing. All right. I don't sell it. I've made it very clear in all of my writing. I'm bullish longer term in gold and in silver, and I own it I own them both and will continue to own. I'm not selling them, but certainly in the short term, I could short them. And I think that's still the right play. And I think that that's the, one of the differences is that if I tell you a trade, I own it. I'm in it. I do it. And I take the beating or the glory that goes along with it. And, you know, I don't know that there's any reason to blast me, you know, because I made a mistake or made a bad call. And as it turns out, the call was not all that bad. It didn't get that far away. You know, we're chirling right around here, and I don't see any reason to believe that that I'm going to be wrong. I think as it turns out, I'm going to be right. But again, listen, being right on paper and being right in real money is sometimes different because, you know, if you, depending on the pressure that you can take when you sell something or buy something, you know, so I say that, you know, initially I was wrong, but now I think I'm right because I think that we're going to go down and test the lows in the gold market. But long term, again, I'm very bullish. So again, if my short positions in the near term don't do well, I mean, I know my long positions will do well. But I think that we're going to see, you know, you hit a little jig and jag on Wednesday. And, you know, I think that you're going to see it start to, you know, go lower. You know, it was up, it made a late move, a late rally, and then it gets stepped on. But again, I think one of the most important things to remember is that you should be, you know, a part of the discipline to enter and exit based on the factors in which we are trading and not, you know, think that everything is the gospel. You know, that's why there's a thing called a stop loss. That's why we have something that says, hey, sometimes you got to just take your losses and move on. You know, we do not believe in just, you know, okay, well, this is an opinion, that's it, and we're going to die with it. And I think many of you forget that, you know, one of the things about being able to make good cash in markets is the ability to say, hey, I'm wrong. I have to realize my losses and try something different and move on. And I always, you know, laugh about how people think that, like, it's an automatic. You know, it's like that black box, like we know something. And, you know, I just don't, you know, understand why you would get so crazy, again, because in all of my writing and all of my shows, I'm very much about the discipline to cut the losses short, excuse me, when you're going to have a loss. You know, again, that's why we exit trades at points, because we have to be able to get out when we're wrong. And wrong is a relative term, and it has to be based on a mathematical sequence of what is your risk tolerance and what do the levels tell you. But, you know, to think that, you know, somebody's never going to be wrong, you'd have to be, well, I don't want to use the terms because, you know, if you think that there is a black box out there that, you know, the magic bullet, well, then you better try some preparation H, because you get the magic bullet right where you don't want to get it. And that's something that I think that becomes just another issue in why people fail at the investing and trading world, because they think about how it can only be a winner or whatever. And I think you make that big mistake. And it's a concern because you know that I'm always on your side and want you to do well. And I'm pulling for you. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, I do an update every day, Bubba's Daily Update. And I email it to you after the close. It's a little video. And I tell you what I saw that day and what I'm looking for tomorrow. And you can certainly get that for free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. And there's a little box that pops up. You fill it out. And every day you'll get a little video and get yourself ready to rock and roll. And don't forget, of course, to download The Bubba Show every day at LibertyTalk.fm. You can also get The Sporting Edge there. And, of course, we have our new crypto show starting this weekend. So go to Liberty Talk and check it out. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop by for a break. I'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, of course, markets have, out of nowhere, have picked up some volatility and created some action. And interest rates, they are rising. And, of course, we had the boobs from the Fed once again report their crap. And once again, they did not fail to disappoint. They did nothing, which is just totally insane in this market. And of course, that only tells us one thing for sure is going to happen, that they are going to screw it up, and that this market is going to, that the interest rate markets are going to get away from them, and that they're going to have it rammed up their potato belt once again. Because one thing we know about the Fed in history, they have never been right on their exit out of bond purchases and out of manipulating interest rates and whatever. Never. Not like once or twice, but like never. I think that the whole disaster here is I'm actually pretty convinced in my mind that the Fed will be the black swan event that will create the sell-off in this market. Now, again, I'm not looking for the end of the world, and I still will tell you that I still believe that the markets go up year over year. So there's no issue that we are trying to worry about from that standpoint. I think that what you have to remember is that the markets do what the markets do. But the Fed is going to create this mess that they have created, and everybody's so worried about the Fed's balance sheet and how they unwind it. Well, they don't have to necessarily unwind it. They can let those bonds they own go to maturity, which I continue to tell you, but again, it's like talking in deaf ears. But at the end of the day, they're going to pull the trigger wrong on raising interest rates. See, they're now well behind the curve. We should be at 4 or 5% already. And I got into a little Twitter conversation on Wednesday about the farming business and what's going on there and why higher interest rates would actually help. And, you know, let's walk you through the whole theory of why. You know, if you look at commodity prices, they've been depressed for years now. Okay. The grains, brutal. And of course, every field, every planter is basically planting at a loss. Pretty tough business when you got to go into it losing money. However, one of the things that is important to understand is that one of the problems we have in the grain markets is that, left to their own devices, just based on, you know, weather, supply, demand, you know, all the areas we import and export and all that other crap, that all comes to a halt. When you have manipulated dollars in the market, which is what we have, and you get into this whole manipulation model, you have stopped the liquidity. Now, when you look at the general mood of the equity markets, what do we have? We've got one investment in the world that can be made if you want to get any yield, which is in equities. That was constructed and designed by the geniuses at the Federal Reserve. So what they have done is they have taken everybody's money and they put it into one giant ball of mess, which will eventually become that one big giant ball of mess. And, you know, farming grains, you know, not only are they dependent on, obviously, you know, weather production and so on and so forth, but what they're really dependent on, which we don't talk about much, of course I do, but is the ability for alternative money to come in as an investment, which also helps push up prices. But as we, if we take a look at first the banks, okay, that are part of this Fed Ponzi scheme, I mean, the small banks unwilling participants, but they're involved because of the regulations and things they have to go through. When it's harder to borrow money, although your costs are low, you can't get the money anyway, so what good does it do you? But the ones who do get money are under the thumbprint of the bank. And of course, banks are, you know, when they're working on thinner margins, which is what they do when rates are lower, they're working on thin margins, that they're more apt to, as we say, give you a tap on the shoulder to force you out. Now, that is something that creates a problem and takes away a lot of price movement in the market. So it takes away the outside demand because nobody's interested in investing in grains because the stock market's bananas and it keeps going up every day. Whereas the grains, I don't get much appreciation right now. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have started to see a little bit of rally. But now, so back to the whole process. So if interest rates are higher and banks were making a bigger profit on their lending value, they wouldn't be so quick to give you the tap on the shoulder to make you get out of a certain position. Okay. And then, of course, you would see more money flowing in. And, of course, when the equity markets start to sell off, which they're already starting, okay, you would then believe and see that we would get money would have to go somewhere. And again, the one of the greatest investments is, you know, after the equity market is into alternatives, grains and things like that. So if, and my theory is that low interest rates have kept liquidity away, low interest rates have kept people going into equities, so we've taken away the demand for investment, okay, into the farming world. We have taken away the ability for farmers to farm the best way they can, because if they do get money, which obviously most do, they're under the watchful eye of the Federal Reserve, and that watchful eye, or actually they're on their watchful eye of the bank because of the Federal Reserve. And of course, then what happens is they, every time the markets move slightly adversely, they get the tap on the shoulder. You got to get out and force liquidation. And then, of course, it keeps prices down. You then tie in that the commercial traders, and a lot of them are banks, are pushing down on these prices. You'd have to wonder sometimes if there's a little bit of a little bit of a scheme in there as well. And again, we're not going to get into that now. But so now if you take all that, and you now remove the some of the restrictions, you raise the rates, which frees up money, which allows more people to get in, what happens? Well, higher rates are going to pull a lot of money out of the equity market, which is going to create a sell-off, and a lot of that money is going to then look for another investment to go to, which would be, in my opinion, which would be the grain markets. So it's a little bit of a long and about thesis. But, you know, basically what I'm looking for is an equity sell-off, which will create a need for other investment. And I've said this for months, maybe almost a year, on TV. They asked me, where am I investing in? And I said, I'm investing in agriculture, the grain markets. I see no better value than corn when it was at $3.45. I see no better value than wheat when it was at $4.20. And I think this is the mistake that many of you make. Again, you know, it's a funny story, but it's like, okay, the markets are going up. I love it. I got to buy it. The minute they go lower, I hate it. Okay. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, human emotion takes over. But, you know, the whole theory, you know, there's an old story, you know, high volatility is great, and you should be a buyer of volatility when it's going up, because it's going up for a reason. And it's like when it's going down, well, volatility is cheap, so let me buy. Well, no, volatility is not cheap. Volatility is fair. And volatility can never be cheap. It can only get expensive. It can get a little bit too carried away. But at the end, if you understand that, you know, typically you're investing or trading or doing whatever, you want to be with the general flow of the trend of what's going on. And, you know, so falling market, you want to be a seller, rising market, you want to be a buyer at the right levels. And so, again, we'll get this flow. We'll get this markets to turn over and change. And again, I'm still a buyer, and I still believe that a lot of the money will flow back in once the rates go higher, because I think that then provides more liquidity. That's how I read the situation. And again, I'm not going to say that it's 100% correct. I mean, I'm certainly not an economist, thank God, because, you know, then I could just make up all that, spew all that BS and run a Ponzi scheme. But I'm just giving you how I see the markets and how they function. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, again, I want to remind you about highschoolinvesting.com. Check out the site. See what it's all about. Help a brother out and go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do all that, you get one free week of the advisory service. And certainly you can check it out and see how we do it, what we're doing, see if it fits your style. Because again, we're pretty good at it and we enjoy it. And we want to make sure that we can help you be better at it. So go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading and help out the high school program. And also go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, and also the Sporting Edge on the weekends, so that you can be a part of my team and help me get to my goal of 1 million downloads a month. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break with more of the Bubba Show. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And you know, we got big data today after the close. You've got Amazon, Google, and Apple all reporting earnings. Okay? I've never seen this before. I've never seen a market where everything happens at once and it's squeezed around Fed on the front end and the jobs number on the back end. So I think it's pretty interesting on what may or may not happen. But the jobs are going to be interesting. And this is, if you've noticed, we talked about this a little earlier, how good news, if it's not good enough, is bad news. And bad news is worse news. You know, we're no longer, I think, seeing the Fed, you know, we're going to buy off of the Fed. I think that now we've come to the solution that the Fed is clueless and that they really aren't in a position to continue with their ignorance of trying to bail everybody out. And I think this is something that, you know, again, we have to start to realize from a trading standpoint that they've exhausted everything that they can do. They have crippled the investing world, forcing everybody into the equity market. And as we all know, eventually that will create, which I said, believe the black swan. So the question is, when the number comes out tomorrow, all right, how does it affect it? You know, and because for the past years, I guess, anytime the number was too hot, it created a little bit of selling pressure because it was a sign that the Fed might have to raise rates, which, of course, we know how I feel about that. I'm not going to go into it again. But if the number was bad, it would mean that they would keep them lower. So bad numbers, the markets really. Now, I'm interested to see, now that we are in this spot where the Fed is basically totally lost control of what they're trying to get done, I don't think there's anything about any question about that. You have to understand that it's the emotion that drives the market, not necessarily the actual fact. So the fact is that the Fed itself isn't gone. They're lost. They have no chance. They're going to make a tragic mistake here, which is going to create some major action. But then, if you then look at, so what will the jobs bring? Is it going to be a big number? Now, last month was a big miss, but again, it's always hard to tell. And this is another issue I have, is when we try to figure out if the government actually knows how to count. Because why do we always have to have these revisions constantly? And that's something that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? We have to have a revision after revision after revision. When, why can't you just get the number right the first place? Where does all that come from? So I think it'll be interesting to see, depending on what the number is, how the market reacts. Now, I'm going to say that if the number is really good, the market's going to get pounded. Just an opinion. I don't have a fact, obviously, but I mean, the only reason the markets are holding with these gains is the cheap money from the Fed. Well, the Fed is going to have to raise rates here at some point, because the bond markets are telling him that you're going to have to raise rates. You know, we can pretend all we want and try to ignore all we want, but the Fed is going to have to raise rates. The markets are telling the Fed that they're going to have to raise rates, and they're continuing stepping on the dollar. You know, again, you don't think that the dollar is being traded down like that. The dollar is being manipulated down because everybody's concerned about the interest rate market. That's the whole deal here. This is directly correlated to interest rates and nothing else. Okay, this has nothing to do. Why would the dollar be so weak? This is a manipulated weak dollar, which is not benefited. Going back to my argument from my Twitter argument, the cheap dollar has not benefited the commodities markets. The dollar's on 4-year lows. Gold is flat. Soybeans, wheat, and corn are lower, but aren't they supposed to go higher? Isn't that what the creation of a cheaper, isn't that what everybody gets excited about the cheaper dollar? Oil is lower, although, I mean, up recently, but again, in general. So where is the benefit from the weaker dollar? Well, the true fact is that the weaker dollar has not been a big benefit because it's a manipulated weaker dollar. Everybody knows it. This is all BS. That's the issue of having the ignorance of the Federal Reserve and what they're doing, because you can bet that they're behind this dollar pounding, because that's the only way they can try to manipulate and control rates, because they are in a position, if the dollar gets strong, it makes these rates, this 2.7 rate in the 10-year, if the dollar gets strong, it makes that 2.7 feel like 3.5, which is a bad situation when you've based your whole bubble, your whole building, your whole foundation is based on the fact that you thought that you could borrow your way out of debt. Your whole theory was if you print enough money, you could figure out a way to get out of the problem that would have solved itself 8 years ago if the MBs would have left the markets to trade by themselves. That's the free market argument. Okay, because you cannot say that we have free markets at the moment, because there's a component that manipulates them into one thing. That is one of the exciting things about the cryptocurrency world. For now, those are totally true free markets that trade off of the public, because it's open 24 hours. You have buyers, you have sellers. You can trade anytime you want. There is nobody in there saying, well, we'll cut interest rates so that we can force you to put money in the stock market. So that is the interesting thing of this whole interest rate debate, And again, the economists, they can't identify anything until 10 years later when they've had time to study it. Well, I'm not waiting for 10 years to say that the markets are in a bubble. Okay. Again, that just goes back to the entire theory of how we look at the markets. Now, again, it doesn't mean that the bubble can't get bigger. It just means that in general, we're seeing ridiculous information based on artificial, artificial insemination or artificial intelligence or no intelligence. I mean, obviously, we can't say that they're not smart people. I mean, they're all big graduates of big-time universities. But again, from a standpoint of understanding common sense, not very good. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. It will be exciting. That we can promise. But it won't be as exciting as the Bubba Show. And of course, this is the Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update, which is available to you free every day. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and fill out the little box that pops up. And you will get the daily update sent to you each and every day right after the markets close. And of course, my station is libertytalk.fm. And I want to make sure that you go there and download the Bubba Show every single day. And of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends and our new cryptocurrency show, which premieres on Saturday. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Friday. Welcome to February. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Thank you so much. Always great to be here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.